Broadcasting live from Risk World 2022 at the Moscone Center in San Francisco, it's time for Workplace MVP, brought to you by R3 Continuum, a global leader in helping workplaces thrive during disruptive times. Now, here's your host.
Hi, everyone. Your host, Amy Gassman here, coming to you from the Risk World 2022 Expo Hall in R3 Continuum's booth, our show sponsor. And joining me is Mark Hoffman from Clear Risk US Corp. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thanks, Jamie.
This
is fun.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm glad you stopped by. I know we've been having fun chatting already before, but tell us a little bit about what Clear Risk does.
Before I do that, I have to say why I stopped by. It's because of your producer, John's light out front. That just drew me in, this beautiful on-air light that said, man, I got to learn more about that.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, so I'm here with Clear Risk. I was a speaker at the conference. I spoke yesterday, and we can talk about that a little bit. But Clear Risk is a risk management information system, so RMIS. We do claims and incident reporting and tracking and analytics. And I'm also helping them develop a business continuity module to help companies be more resilient. And we're here at the conference as well, down at booth 1918. And it's been a great experience.
Yeah. So I know it's kind of the first time back in person after a couple years.
Yeah.
So, you know, and what have you felt the vibe being, or the people you've been talking to? What are you kind of sensing from the audience?
Well, the first vibe for me was before I spoke live in front of an audience yesterday. I sort of had those butterflies that you don't always get when you're in front of that Zoom screen or whatever. And a lot of the conferences that I spoke at the last couple of years, they have you pre-record it and send it in. And so it's very easy for those things to come off really flat because you're in your office by yourself and you don't have that feedback that you get from the audience. And yesterday, there were a little, some jitters maybe early on, but I had a full room, standing room only, great eye contact, people taking pictures of the screen, things like that. And you get that interaction with the audience that says, wow, it's just energetic and it really, charges you up. As far as the conference goes, it's great to see people. There have been some very clever things to draw people in. The putting contest, some of the walls, the sand sculpture, and, the on-air booth over here.
Our on-air booth. That's awesome.
So well done.
Thank you. So talking about your presentation, tell me, what was the topic of that presentation, or kind of dive into the meat of what you were discussing?
Yeah, I sort of took a different approach, and it's a risk that everybody's thinking about, and it's cybersecurity. And so I spent 20 minutes yesterday talking about how to effectively communicate if you've been the victim of a cyber attack. And really to kind of narrow it down to the main nuggets, it's basically three things. If you need to communicate to external stakeholders or to the public or even to your employees, it really needs to start with the fact that you have to own it. You have to tell the truth. You have to explain what happened, admit what happened. And this applies really to any type of crisis, not just a cyber attack, but basically just come out and say, listen, this is what's happened. And tell the truth. Whatever that initial statement is, it has to stand up to fact-checking, right? We live in a world right now where everybody... I was at the ball game last night. I went down to a Giants game, and I was sitting next to a woman who said to me, oh, yeah, I was in Toronto once. And I said, oh, what were you doing? And she said, well, I was filming a movie there. And so I said, well, that's kind of cool. And I asked her what the movie was, and she told me what her role was. And then when we turned away from each other, what did I do? I Googled it, right? Just to make sure that, is this woman legit? Like, was she really in that movie? And she was, and it was really kind of cool. So whatever statement you make has got to stand up to that fact-checking, which is, real time. The next thing is add some context to what you just told me. And in the example that I used yesterday, company came out and they admitted that they had executed on an email that they shouldn't have, but then they added appropriate context. Look, our servers were not breached. User data was not compromised in this, and that's important context. And then the third thing is talk about what you learned from it, what you're going to do different going forward. And if you can do those things, and it's so different than, the average celebrity apology, right? You can do those things. This is what happened. We admit that it happened. If necessary, apologize for it happening. Add some good context to it. And then talk about, well, what did I learn? This is what we're going to do different going forward. That's a winning formula for communicating effectively.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like those are kind of like the go-to for when you make a mistake,
right?
In a way. Like, I mean, that's what I tell my employees. You know, I live by that. I had a boss very young in my career. Mistakes are going to happen. Issues are going to happen. Cyber risk could happen.
Right.
It's how you respond to it and, you know, address it, accept, you know, ownership or responsibility, and then what are you going to do to make sure it doesn't happen going forward? So yeah. I love that you brought that up into that presentation, because I feel like that those are just standards you should live by. But
right,
yeah.
And it was interesting. Somebody asked a question right at the end. They said, "Yeah, but big corporations lie." And so I said, "Yeah, okay, but we need to influence that, right? We need to change that culture. We need to make sure that we come at this from the standpoint that your answers have to stand up to fact-checking. Otherwise, you're just going to make it worse."
Oh, absolutely. When I think of, you know, in addressing a comment like that, it's like, yeah, but in today's world, the truth is eventually going to come out.
Right.
And where do you want to, you know, would you want to be like on the positive side of that or the negative?
That's right. Lawyers like to use the term the fact pattern.
Yeah.
And the fact pattern is you better be right. You better, you know, be on the side of right as you go forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So I understand in talking to you, you also do a podcast, which is exciting. I love having other fellow podcasters on our podcast with us. Tell me a little bit about what you do there.
Yeah. So the podcast is called The Resilient Journey, and it is sponsored by ClearRisk. And you can find us anywhere that you find podcasts, you know, Spotify, Google and Apple Podcasts and all that stuff. And basically what we do is we focus on resilience, whether it's business resilience, organizational resilience. We talk about cyber risk and things like that. But we're also starting to talk a little bit more here about personal resilience. And there's some very interesting stories. I've talked to some folks who, one of my favorites was a guy called Vince Davis. I love him to death. He's from Chicago, and he's in the emergency management field. And he talked about racial inequity in the emergency management industry. And he said, "Mark, I've been doing this for over 20 years. And he said, "I know, and I can list for you all of the other people in our industry who are black." And do I have time to tell the story I mentioned before?
Oh, yeah, keep going. Yeah.
He said, "Hey, you know, one of the things you have to realize is the privilege that you have that you're not aware of." He said, "When you back out of your driveway in the morning to go to work, you're Mark or you're Jamie or he's John." He said, "I back out of the driveway in the morning and I'm black. And that's how I'm viewed on the way to work, at work, and on the way home from work." And it's things we don't think about. And so I've interviewed him, and I love that one. I interviewed a guy from the UK who lost a family member and talked about the struggles of trying to come to work with that burden. And it really kind of ties into what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And he wrote an article, you know, what do you do when the resilience person or the continuity person can't continue? Mm. How do you deal with that? And he talked about the first step, the hardest step, was needing to say, "I need help.
Yeah.
I need a break. I need to stop."
Yeah. And you have talked to a lot of people as well. And, you know, even on this podcast, some that have, you know, experienced some really traumatic events in U.S. history. I interviewed a gentleman that was in the Pentagon during 9/11.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and so hearing those personal stories, I think they're so helpful in allowing you to be able to connect yourself so that you're not just assuming you think you know how somebody feels, but you're actually learning from somebody what that feels like.
Right.
And that's so powerful.
Right. You know, I interviewed a guy a couple of weeks ago, Sean Van Slyke is his name. He's the CEO of a company called Semo Electric Cooperative or something like that. He's in Missouri. And he does a thing called the Friday Feature, and it's a 1 minute positive little story, and he puts it up on LinkedIn, he puts it on YouTube, and he's really affected my life. Like, you know, I don't want to maybe go as far as to say, well, he changed my life, but he certainly influenced me to be more positive. And that's what we need right now, right? There's so much division in our world, and there's so much hatred and anger and frustration. And I was in the Frankfurt airport a couple of weeks ago, and I was on the phone with my wife, and our granddaughter had gone to the hospital. She had a really high fever. I was trying to talk to her, and I couldn't hear her. And I just walked off to sort of a corner area. Well, it turned out it was one of those entrance areas to the lounges, you know, where the elite travelers get to go. And a guy comes up to me, he goes, "You can't be here." And I said, I'm having an important conversation and I can't hear out in the main hallway. I don't care. You can't be here. Mm. And so it turned into a little bit of an argument. So I went somewhere else. I got off the phone with my wife and I went back up to him and I said, "Look, I understand about the rules, but you could have showed some compassion there." Mm-hmm. Like, and that's just for all of us.
Yeah.
Be better. Let's be better. Let's raise the bar and not look at our neighbor and say, Jamie, you need to be better. Look in the mirror and say, "Mark, you need to be better."
Yeah.
And that's where it needs to start.
Yeah. It's like you see a lot of those LinkedIn posts about, you know, understanding that somebody might be going through something that you're not aware of.
Right.
And how do you show that compassion all the time? Because you might be the difference in somebody's life that day by just being kind.
Yeah, you might be.
Yeah.
You might be. So. I had mentioned to you that one of my interviews, a good friend of mine who went through some childhood trauma, and now, after a long struggle and an attempted suicide, now she helps women who have been through similar things. And she told me during the interview, she said that four people have come up to her and said, "You know, I was suicidal too. I had a suicide plan. But because of my conversations with you, I don't feel that way anymore." And, you know, that's impact and that's leadership and that's what we're about and that's what we need to try to do.
Yeah, I love that conversation. It's kind of like we can make that difference in someone's life just by being human and compassionate and caring. So I love that.
You know, you like to ask questions just like I do, right?
Yeah.
And you get a charge out of when you ask a really good question, right? When a guest says to you, "Oh, I love that question."
Yes. I'm like, "Oh, I did good."
Yeah, that's right. Or I have insight. I think I understand what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I asked Tracy, who's the guest I'm talking about, and that's the episode that's coming up this week, by the way. I said to her, "Okay, well, I've never been through anything like this. What would you say to me? How can I help? What do I do? And she goes, "Oh, nobody's ever asked me that before." And that's how you know it's a good question.
Oh, right? Absolutely. You know, I actually had a gentleman on my show one time who had been, he had bipolar.
Oh.
And I asked him, because he talks about when you tell people that you have bipolar, they always go, "I'm sorry." He goes, "That's not what I want to hear." My next question was, "Well, what do you want to hear? What can we say? Because we don't know what you feel."
Right. Teach us.
Teach us.
Yeah.
What would you like us to say? So it was awesome. So I'm right there with you. I think this is great. And really appreciate you stopping by and joining us.
Thanks for having me. And now you owe me one. Now you have to be a guest on my podcast.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you for the invite. Absolutely.
We'll talk about what you do here and you know,
fantastic,
what the company is all about. Yeah, because it's all part of being resilient.
Absolutely. It is part of being resilient. And I would be honored to be on your show.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us on Workplace MVP. R3 Continuum is a proud sponsor of this show and is delighted to celebrate most valuable professionals who work diligently to secure safe workplaces where employees can thrive.